The Family Ties podcast is a fresh and new series created and curated by two sisters on opposite sides of the United States who want to share their journey of staying connected through the weekly discussion of topics that both affect and inspire them.
These topics range from arts and entertainment, inspirational women and role models, science, global issues, psychology, life experiences, pet peeves, etc. Distance may keep us apart, but Family Ties creates a perfect draft backdrop to remain connected, challenged, and always learning. Welcome to our very first episode ever of the Family Ties podcast. Yay! Woo! I am Kelly Ritchie, currently residing in Colorado, and I'm 32 years old. I am the middle child in a family of six children, and I have some very interesting stories to share with you guys. And this is Julia.
Hi, I'm Julia Avery. I'm a new resident of Jacksonville, Florida. I'm 27 years old and I'm the second to youngest from the same family as Kelly. Sisters, if you haven't picked that up yet.
Sisters.
Interesting is a polite word that Kelly used. I'll stick with it. But I also have some interesting, air quotes, stories to share as well. They're pretty messed up.
Some of them aren't, you know, we're both alive. This podcast is something we felt super pumped to do for so many reasons, but here's what's important to know. We love politics, art, fashion, film, music, psychology, animals, etc. Like a lot of stuff. And we enjoy discussing these things with each other as sisters, but since we live so far away and don't get enough time in the day to talk on the phone, this is our endeavor to get closer to one another, discuss meaningful topics, and learn together, regardless of our physical distance.
Yeah, so each week we'll be tackling the topics that Kelly just listed off, including some interviews with professionals, friends, family, and maybe some personal heroes, and take our listeners, you, on an entertaining journey where we share past and present with each other on the quest for knowledge, understanding, empathy, and renewal.
Sweet. So basically this first episode is going to be just an introduction to us and who we are. It's not going to be really structured the way our future podcasts will be structured. So just bear with us. This is pretty loose and informal, but we're going to start at the beginning. So Julie and I have pretty weird facts about our birthdays. So we'll start there, where we were born. As a little baby, I was born on the 23rd day of August. I consider it to be the worst month of the entire year. Hot, sticky, gross.
Yeah, it's the worst.
But when I was born, I was like totally blue, and I was had to be spanked by the doctor to force my first breath. So Julia's already yawning. She's obviously intrigued by this.
No, I'm laughing. Oh,
you were yawning.
No.
Okay. So basically, in addition to that, I would never live down the disappointment I'd already proven to be to my mom, because I was supposed to be born a week earlier. And she had hoped I would be born on her birthday. So I, to this day, get, like, backhanded comments about that. So
shame on you, I've got to say. Wow.
What about you, Julie?
Okay, so my weird birthday story is that I didn't know when my real birthday was until I turned 16. There was a miscommunication that my birthday was on Christmas Day based on my mom, like our mom, wanting to believe and would not believe anything else, is that I was born on Jesus's birthday. And she was convinced that the clocks and everywhere else in the hospital said it was Christmas Day, and that ours was 10 minutes behind, and so that the nurses made a mistake or something by putting the wrong time on the birth certificate. But no, so yeah, every year up until I was 16, we celebrated on Christmas Day. I was told I was a Christmas baby. My birthday was Christmas. That's what I told everybody, and I told myself. And then...
Hey, I believed it for years. Like, well, fuck. I think... I mean, you may have been like 17, 18 by the time I learned that, because I saw your driver's license and I was like, well, they got your birthday wrong, Julia. And you were like, no, they didn't.
Actually.
So anyways.
Yeah, it was at least like we didn't find out I was from a different set of parents or something. It could have been worse news. It's just actually, like, oh, your birthday is actually Christmas Eve.
Would that
just
be one worse news, Julia? Before. Would that really be worse news? Shh. I didn't say that.
Shh. No, because then we wouldn't have it as rich of the content that we have to discuss on this podcast. So,
true. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad.
There's always a silver lining.
All right, so moving on. So basically, the one thing I can say that's been a constant throughout my whole life is horses. I was obsessed. Ever since I could crawl, I was like totally, totally obsessed. It was like that's all my mind could think about. I would grab the horse encyclopedia from like the shelf in the living room, and I'd flip through the pages, and it was just magic. Dad thought I would grow out of the horse phase, but he humored it, and he gave me like horse figurines, books.
Oh yeah, you had tons of horse shit.
Oh, I still do. Much. I have a little shrine, but
you had multiple shelves just filled with horse shit. So much
horse treasures. If it had a horse on it, I wanted it. You know those cheesy yes. like white trash T-shirts you can get at Walmart with like the illustrated wolves like howling at the moon. Well, when I saw one equally as tasteless and cheesy, I think it had like I think it was in North Carolina when we were on. Family vacation. I saw this one where this like sad Native American was on this horse, this really tired horse, and I was like, horses. So I had to have it. Like it didn't matter like the Native American looked sad and defeated. I was like, horse. So I had to have it, but I cherished it and wore it until like the print had been worn and like faded away beyond recognition.
Can confirm.
Yeah.
Can confirm.
I do not have this shirt anymore. That's sad. But Christmas of like when I turned 10, Mom and Dad gave me like the best Christmas present I have received to this day. And it was a handmade certificate for one riding lesson at a local farm. And Dad was firm that was the only lesson to expect. But there were, of course, many more in my future. Basically,
little did he know.
I started to volunteer at the stable in exchange for lessons. And at the ripe old age of 12, Julia, I was a full-time worker.
That sounds legal.
We'll go into more detail about child labor at a different date. But suffice it to say, you know, I was a hard worker very early on, very determined. And
like it was work, but like. You kind of enjoyed it though, right? It was an escape and it felt, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I loved it. Basically, I mean, it was a better reality than the one we had at home. So it was pretty much, I would say it's the reason I'm still alive today. But I don't know. Yeah. You were involved with the horses too. But I have some very special memories of us like going to horse shows together. And it just felt like we were getting away from everything. We were like escaping. Yes. It was great.
Yes, absolutely. Horses, yeah. I love that. It was something that we kind of had together for a long time. Like it was our thing. You know, everybody called me Kelly's mini me. And I'd follow her around at the barn.
Aww.
You would call me your mini-me.
I did.
And then if I wasn't, like, always copying you or something, sometimes you'd be like, what's she doing? Like,
yeah, like, what the hell?
No, it was awesome, though. And, like, it was definitely work. But, like, I fucking loved it. And I enjoyed being away from home. But along with horses, like, I have so many passions. While Kelly, like, your focus was more like you had specific focuses and passions. I'm all over the freaking place. Like, when I was a kid, and still to this day, I wish I could somehow learn everything, be everything, like, do a bunch of different careers and somehow make it work.
Well, Jillian,
not enough time,
but... I saw on usajobs.com that, no, .gov, that they have some, like, FBI agent positions.
Stop open. It, Kelly. Stop.
It's true. Listen.
You're making fun of
no,
me.
No, not at all. I saw those posts and I thought of immediately. So, Julia has had a wide range of careers that she wanted. But, like, mine so far have been these. I wanted to be, as a child, I wanted to be a trick rider. T-R-I-C-K, which basically means, like, a horse vaulter. So, like, basically hell a gymnast yeah. on horseback. I always thought that
that's
was
sexy.
The shit. So then I realized that that was probably not going to happen for me. So then I thought, okay, I'm going to be a horse trainer. And then I turned 13 and I saw Lord of the Rings and that changed everything. Mm. So then I wanted to
Game
be a director.
Changer.
Wanted to make movies. Still do. And then the other one that I kind of thought about for a little while was fashion design, which I still have passions for. But you know, might have been, that's a pretty short list, Julia. What's yours?
God.
Clock starts now.
All right. How much time do we have?
I mean, just list
just
maybe
kidding.
A couple to not even
yeah.
have.
Yeah. So, yeah, when I was little, I had like this schedule where every day I was doing something, some different career. Somehow, like the trainings and the schooling to do all of these, totally, I did not consider the time it would take to do all those and qualified. But okay, so like Mondays, I would be a ballet, like a ballet dancer, an instructor.
There were days of the week you had for each different kind of career?
Yes.
That's organization and forethought. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Also, irrational. Yeah, Monday was
What's
ballet.
Tuesday,
I was an astronaut.
Damn.
So, again, not counting in the time it'd take to get back from the moon or whatever I'd be doing. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Wednesday, I was like an actress. Thursday, I was like a singer. Friday, I was like a scientist or something. Like, it was something different every single day. It was like, I'm gonna do all of it. It's possible. I'm gonna do it. All of
it. And our parents tell us we can be anything except for ours, but most parents.
No, but like, I would try to learn. I would try to get books and stuff to learn how to do the things that I wanted to do. But obviously, like, I tried to teach myself ballet because, you know, we didn't have the money. Like, from a family of six kids, it's like the budget's pretty tight. So we didn't have, like, money to do official dance lessons.
Well, remember that little video you would do it all the time where that lady was like, point, flex, bunny ears. It was so cute. And she'd be like, plie. And you would just eat it up.
I fucking loved it.
It was great. I didn't do any of it. I just watched her. I've never been coordinated enough for dance.
I would choreograph dances with our little sister, Skylar. I would do choreograph, and then I'd get all the family in the living room together, and I'd play, like, some Enya song.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd just dance awkwardly in the living room while everybody's trying to act like this is some good shit.
And then I'm over there like, can I videotape this and pretend I'm a director? Yeah. I'm a one-track mind. Like, so once I start thinking of something, like, I've got to find a place to move, you know, by July. Now that's all I can think about. Like, I'm calling people, I'm looking things up. I do not deviate. It is like Kelly has put the blinders on.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. You know what? I would probably get so much more stuff done if I was like that. I think about everything simultaneously, and it's very overwhelming, and it's difficult to decide, where do I start? Your one-track mind is very good for you. Jealous.
I can call me the bloodhound. So anyways, if you haven't gathered already, you guys, Julie and I were in a very large homeschool family, and things were our youth was extremely non-traditional and extremely strange. But like, as far as school goes, just a little tidbit is that, like, I had an extremely difficult time learning to read as a kid, and mom was never patient. And when she did decide to try and teach, it was like, yeah, it was intense. She would use psychological warfare, you know, to try and drive results. And all it did was make me become more withdrawn, very sensitive, insecure. And I'd feel like tremendous amounts of guilt for stuff I couldn't pick up or understand.
Like, if you had trouble learning something, it was like, it was rebellion. Like, it was almost, it was, you were choosing not to learn.
Yeah.
You were choosing to fight the learning process. And it's like, no, you just don't understand the topic. You don't understand material. Like, it's not rebellion. I don't understand.
So, like, she would give me, like, M&Ms, you know, when I was trying to learn how to read. And if I messed up, I would actually get a spanking. So it was like learning felt like such high stakes. And so I, to this day, you know, the reason Julie and I are really, interested in psychology is because like we've really been put through the ringer in our lives, and we're trying to make sure that we don't repeat patterns that we've seen as far as the mental illness that has kind of ravaged, our childhoods. And
so, not only repeat patterns, but use it as a crutch or an excuse to be
a bad human.
Yeah It's just, so use it and turn it around and really try to make something better out of it, a better life, better ourselves,
awareness, accountability.
Yeah In order to do that, you have to really understand and acknowledge what went wrong.
I mean, and to this day, like, I'm super convinced that I had and still have, like, a learning disability of some kind. Like, I'm about to, it's been put on my doctor's list to, I think in early April, I'm supposed to do an ADHD test, because they said I definitely sound like I could fall in that realm. And it's like, I feel every day that, like, I love to learn, but my focus and my attention span, like, if I don't understand what I'm looking at, I'm going to have a difficult time sitting there and problem solving to understand it. I'm going to get frustrated with myself, beat myself up over it. And I can't, you know, see the forest through the trees. It's a bad feeling. And I was always told that, you know, growing up, our parents didn't believe in that stuff, but they basically, it was rebellion. If you weren't understanding, or if you had difficulties in certain learning situations, it was always conditional upon your love, and then also whether or not you were a good Christian. So that's great. Yeah. Science definitely backs that up.
You know, it's interesting. About 2 years ago, my doctor recommended me to a specialist to get ADHD testing as well. But yeah, I didn't have the budget. I haven't had the budget for a specialist since.
So, I mean,
so I'm just like going along my life, still undiagnosed for sure. And
I think the reason I'd like to know is, like, if there are ways for me to, you know, get over those hurdles and at least put it in perspective, or take some medicine to help me focus. I feel like I'm operating at maybe like 70% of my capacity, but maybe not even that much. It's just that I know I could be smarter, or not even smarter, but quicker to learn things and retain them. I, like,
you know what, it's and you know what's interesting is I don't think a lot of people are using even that much. 70% sounds like a lot, considering you know, seeing what some people are able to do when they're operating at their best, and then the rest of us, I feel like 70 is pretty generous. I feel like a lot of us are operating pretty low.
Or, I mean, there are such exceptional individuals. I don't want to, like, give myself too hard of a time, because I know I'm smart, but I may not be coming up with the world's next big invention. But there are some people who are exceedingly smart and have so much foresight. You know, when I see certain things that, like, Newton was discovering at the time frame he was discovering it, or even the, you know, Einstein, and it's amazing. It was just to think about how they were able to come up with that and it be proven, like, it's astounding.
Well, and I feel like intelligence is something that we can't pinpoint exactly because it's so varying. There's so many different types of intelligence, and there's emotional intelligence. There's like engineering kind of intelligence, people that are great with math, people that are great with writing, English. So, I mean, none of us should be too hard on ourselves because it doesn't mean just because we aren't operating at the full capacity that we think we should be. It doesn't mean that we're not intelligent. It just, I think it's a matter of also health, focus, what's going on in your world right now, being mentally drained. There's a lot of different factors. I don't think it's a lack of intelligence, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like, we were really, really conditioned to not only have self-doubt, but if you took pride in anything, if you were proud of an achievement, like something you won, you were always quickly reminded that, you know, pride goes before a fall, and any kind of pride equals, like, just, what is the, not just pride, it equals some really bad religious thing. What am I thinking of, Julia?
Well, and also it'd be you giving yourself credit because we were conditioned that, you know, it's all Jesus.
Yeah.
What we did, it wasn't us. It wasn't the hard work we put into it. It was all Jesus.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you,
so
Jesus.
So us taking pride in our work, it was like, don't be proud of yourself. Thank the Lord.
So to caveat that, let me just say before we continue talking about education that I am... The older I get, the more I realize that I am not religious. I never was religious. I have a healthy respect for different beliefs, and I think...
Same.
I don't buy into any of them. I may see some wisdom in some of them and be able to, like, I don't know. It's I think there are certain things of Buddhism that I think are great, and... I think certain aspects of Christianity or other religions sound nice, but it's not applicable to my life. And I consider myself relatively spiritually open, but I do not practice religion at all. And I cannot step foot inside a church. And not because I'm like Damien from The Omen, I'm going to burst into flames, but it could happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's anything's possible.
Yeah, it is. But
no, I'm the same way. Like I'm very spiritual person, but I'm not religious. And there's a difference between spirituality and religion. And religion's all organized. Spirituality is being open to the unknown, something bigger than yourself. But I feel like no one really knows anything. A lot of this stuff is man-made, and it's kind of a comfort thing. I think it's comforting for people to grow up with some sort of structured faith with some guidance so that they feel like they understand the world they live in. They feel like they understand and have some element of control over their life. Because if there's no organized religion and there's nobody to claim there's a God who's responsible for everything that goes bad, everything that goes good, then you feel helpless and you're like, whoa, not me, but like I feel like the general people, I feel like the religion is comforting for some because...
Do you want to know what sounds super stressful to me? Living forever? Oh, gross. Ugh. Also, like, I'm not one of those people who finds death to be that terrifying. I've almost died like 3 times now. So,
yeah,
I mean,
you're like a cat. You have 9 lives. And y'all, we're going to be getting into some of Kelly's accidents at some point.
Stay tuned.
She is lucky. She has, and strong.
Would we call
she
that has gotten, lucky or just unfortunate? Because, I mean, it could go either way.
No. I say luck.
Okay. All right.
And strength. A little bit, a dash of luck, a lot of strength.
It was Jesus.
You've gone through some shit.
Jesus did it. Mm.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. But, like, the idea of dying and not going anywhere, I would be fine with that. Like,
well, there's part of me that's an introvert, so that does sound nice a little bit.
I mean, but here's the thing is, even if you are afraid of dying and there being nothingness, like, what are you going to do about it? Like, once you die, it's not like you can still be like, but I don't want to. No, it's done. It's over. You aren't conscious. So
we don't know.
Like, how is finality that terrifying? Well,
we don't know anything. And these people that claim, you know, the people that die and then get brought back to life.
I never saw no light at no tunnel, Julia.
Yeah, you should know. You've had three opportunities.
Julia, there was no light and it was just all so painful. Close. Okay, so let's just, whatever.
Yeah.
Going back to learning real fast, getting an education, getting learnt real good. We are from Kentucky, so.
Yeah, if you're concerned about any part of like our mental state or like maybe our intelligence,
just blame Mitch McConnell or Bitch McConnell as I call him. So basically with education, like one thing I can kind of tie back to the whole thing of having such, you know, I feel like it could either be the ADHD we were talking about, but you know, my doctor also said that she feels like my levels of anxiety are so high that my whole life I've been in a fight or flight mode. Like every situation is like that. And I, until she'd said that, I'd never thought about it. But like the more I've been doing this wonderful Headspace app, I'm learning more about how anxious I truly am, like all the time, and how I let it rule me when I have the power to kind of take some steps back from those thoughts and kind of create some mental distance and realize it as what it is. And it's a thought that I'm having. It's not, we take our thoughts as being reality. And in the end, it's not really the case. Our mind will tell us all sorts of lies, but it doesn't mean that it's true and that we should just listen to it. So kind of retraining the brain is difficult, but like if I do have ADHD, that'll explain a lot. But if it is just anxiety, that also explains a lot. But like test taking, I don't know if you had this, Julia, did you take the ACT?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
I did. A 23.
Damn, I hate you. Anyways.
Just passing. It was Julie, was like one of the minimum.
Julia, I did the bare minimum to get into college. But so here's the thing, guys.
What was yours?
Oh, hell. It was like 18. It's real bad.
No, it's got to be better than that because I don't think that's the minimum requirement.
Well,
I was scraping right by.
SAT or ACT, I don't remember the difference. I feel like it was the ACT. But like Western Kentucky University, I met their minimum requirement to get in. And I blame it all on the math section because the way our mom taught was just a little blurb. Go ahead, Julia. How did mom teach?
Well, here's the thing.
Listen, Linda.
She didn't.
Right.
So I feel like that might be a little factor. Just a little one. She'd ordered the books.
Yeah.
But then like I got taught how to read and like I was given the same M&M treatment.
Oh.
I actually didn't get spanked if I got the answer wrong. But I got M&Ms if I got it right. And I think that also, I'm going to blame that as where my sugar addiction started.
Is that why I don't buy M&Ms?
Also, my love for learning. I'm like, chocolate.
Oh, man.
I'm just kidding. Well, I'm just kidding.
The only reason that I made it through whatever it was, ACT or SAT, I don't know, is because Janet helped me. Mm-hmm. Like she's the oldest and she had a very determined, like we would have stayed home and been childbearers. That was all women were meant for. And where we were raised. And we'll get into that.
Janet soon. Felt very, and still to this day, feels like as the oldest, she has the responsibility to be the example.
Lead.
Be successful. Yeah. Lead. Yeah.
I think
that really was her driving force.
Yeah. I agree. And, you know, she wanted us to succeed too. And so she, like, she helped me prepare for it. And I'd never studied for a single test in my life because I'd never taken any up until that point. So just imagine, guys, taking your first test as you're leaving high school. That's great. But I would say Janet's the ultimate hero and catalyst in my life that prevented me from remaining at home and, you know, working at the stables for the rest of my foreseeable future. So I'm very lucky in that, but we'll go into more depth on the topic of mom and school and our lovely legacy at a different date. But, you know, let's establish here and now that our mother was highly abusive, both mentally and physically, to us growing up. And it is something that we are all very haunted by to this day. It's been the root of many emotional scars and issues, which counseling has been helpful in putting some perspective. But, yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely be going into that more later. It's, you know, this is just like, just giving you like a little glimpse into maybe what drives our passions and drives our passion for learning and trying to understand and grapple with difficult issues and topics to try to make sense of everything, because it's been challenging. It's been it's been a real struggle bus.
makes me want to sing, which I'm not a good singer, but it just made me think of that song from The King and I, getting to know you, getting to feel free and easy.
You're so cute.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much.
I remember that movie. Oh, my God.
Yeah. We grew up on classics. Yeah. Anyways, go ahead, Julia. What you got?
Okay. Well, we are at 33 minutes.
Okay, so guys, you know what that means? Julie, tell them what it means.
It means that we have an ad.
Or two.
We have an ad or two for you.
Yay! Nice job, Julia. Ads.
So hold on just a second. We'll be right back.
Up a little bit, Julia. Let's have you talk about your teen experience before mine.
Ooh, okay. Awkward years. So awkward. I know that's for pretty much teens everywhere, though. Teen years are hard and very emotional.
You fall in love all the time.
So hard in love all the time.
Yeah.
Even if you have never talked to them.
Especially if you've never talked to them.
Oh, man. And then you can't talk to them. You're like, if I talk to them, I'm going to ruin this.
They're going to know. They're going to see it on
They already know. They see me look at them and they know already. And now I'm embarrassed.
Or like that's me and Sarah, you just very awkwardly and very obviously take photos of that person to develop later, and you know, of course you're gonna get doubles, right?
Wait, what?
Sarah and I would we'd take pictures of our crushes, specifically one guy There were two guys named Sam. Well, that's safe to say.
I remember the other Sam, too.
Yeah, we would take pictures, and we always had the same crushes on the same guys. That was interesting. But we'd get doubles printed of the photos, and then we'd save
one for each.
One for you, one for me, yes. It's love. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. That's creepy. But endearing.
Okay.
But endearing. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had, like, my crushes lasted a long time. Like, I was in a committed fake relationship, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I had a crush for 7 years.
Oh, yeah. I know about those crushes. I've had some of those.
Oh, brutal. Ugh. And pathetic. Anyway. Teen years. So I did a lot of random things, and it also feeds into all of the random things I want to do. I volunteered at the preschool that was held at our church.
Boring. So I was like, just kidding.
I enjoyed it. I was like the assistant to the teacher, you know, help these little kids learn their colors, how to write their names, learn letters and numbers, and read them stories, and it was fun. And I'd always get, like, I fucking loved when the parents would also include me in, like, the holidays and stuff. They'd bring me Christmas presents. Aww. Like, the little kids would bring up the Christmas present to me. It was the sweetest thing, and I was like, this is why I do it.
Well, that's not right.
I felt special. I felt like I was making a difference. Like, the kids didn't hate me, you know. I was like, they remember me, you know. They don't run away when I look at them. It was like, I felt like I was part of something better, and it was nice to get presents and confirmation that I wasn't a total dork. But still am. I remember I always look at the Valentine cards. It was so cute. Oh, man. Sorry.
You're fine.
Taking me down, like, nostalgia, like, memory lane. I'm just getting lost up in here.
Oh, man. Goodness.
So you need to get tested for this ADHD. What are you talking about?
You know.
I'm all over the place.
Get back on track.
Yeah. So volunteered preschool. Volunteered at the horse barn, like me and Kelly were talking about earlier. Like, I would also work for lessons. Would go to horse shows, travel for weeks at a time. No parental.
We were
supervision.
Such good kids, though. Just by,
you were fucking great.
Just by the fear that was instilled inside of us.
Oh,
like,
yeah, so afraid.
I would not even wear, like, something as simple as, like, a tank top with spaghetti straps because my mom said that it was slutty. I wouldn't even do that in private, like, at a horse show when I was told, like, you know, you could wear this. And I'm like, no, I was so scared.
It's like she's watching.
Yeah,
she's gotta be watching.
I wasn't as much afraid of Jesus as I was mom. Like, she's seeing all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah, so did that, and then was part of a program called Teen Court, which was it's pretty interesting thinking about it now, but back then I never wanted to be part of it. It was something I was forced to do, and I had to sit through all the trainings and events from the being age 7 to 16 when I ended up moving out. But it's basically where teenagers get to be part of real juvenile cases. They get to be the jurors, the prosecuting attorney, defense attorney, clerk, bailiff, but there is an official judge. So teens aren't being the judges. It's being presided in, like, a real court, but they handle real teenagers that have committed, like, misdemeanors. So drugs, traffic violations, stuff like that. Some assault.
Stealing.
Nothing, yeah.
Truancy.
Yeah, stuff like that. So it was pretty cool because if the defendant ended up completing the sentence that they were given completely and on time and everything, the whole situation would just be expunged from their records. So it gave them an opportunity to have a clean slate, which, looking back now, I'm like, that's a great program. But if I didn't want to, that's one thing I don't want to be, is a lawyer.
No. I do not like, I had to do it too, teen court. And mom said I had to circulate and do every single role in teen court. And I was like, I to this day, I don't like attention. I'm relatively introverted. And like stage fright, such a big thing. So I, it was like the worst crushing fear ever to have to stand up there and be, and I don't remember if you know this, or I don't know if you remember this, Julia, but do you remember how like defense attorneys, if you had to be an attorney, you'd want to be the defense attorney because you could kind of have everything pre-written.
You oh, no, have to I was the prosecuting attorney twice.
Oh, and you have to like stand up and, and think on your feet. And it's like, I'm a kid.
Oh, so my first case that I was a prosecuting attorney for,
did you lose?
The guy, huh?
Did you lose the case?
Oh, for sure.
Throw the book at him.
Don't swear to God, swear to me. no, so it was a theft case where they stole something from like a pair of jeans from the store, and I went to that store and I got the security footage that showed them doing it, and I played it for the jury, for everybody in the jury. He refused, the defendant refused to look at the TV to acknowledge himself. He refused to look at it.
Julie, that's a great visual aid. I never had any of that.
I was like, I want to do something nobody's done before here. So I went and I got the security footage, played the tape, and shows him picking it up. And the guy had like a long ponytail. Like, it was definite. Like, even if it was shitty footage, like, it was definitely him.
Mm-hmm.
And this wasn't a matter of whether he did it or not. But like, you know, when I thought I was going to get the answer I wanted when I asked him. And you knew this was wrong, didn't you? That you know that stealing was wrong, didn't you? And he went, no. And I was like, it fucked up the rest of the questions I had set up to like kind of drill into him how terrible a decision this was. And then I was like, it made me stumble. And I was like, your mom never told you?
Julia, I really wrong? Hate to interrupt you. But I can see you on the Skype call, and you have like a piece of something in your teeth.
It's probably one of the herbs from the dinner Kevin made.
I mean, I know the audience can't see it, but I just thought I'd tell you because that's what sisters do.
It's huge. Oh my God.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Wowza.
How did you not say anything for so long?
I just saw it. I'm sorry.
And you could have texted me.
Julia,
or something,
I just
be
saw
like,
it. Man.
Check your teeth.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So continue.
Thank you for letting me
what
know.
What else happened with your teenage years?
Okay. So I spent a lot of time with our little sister, Skylar.
What a punk.
I love her.
I know. I do too. Are you kidding me? I love her. She was a little scallywag.
Oh my God. She was a bully. So today, we are great friends today. Yeah. Now, like today, I look back and I laugh. But when I was a kid, it was so terrifying. She was so mean to me. She was a bully. She like pushed me around, and she would lie about things that I did wrong and like lie to tell on me to mom and stuff, and I'd get spankings. I'd get in trouble for things I didn't do because she was pissed off at me for not playing with her. I was like, oh my God.
That's some real manipulative shit. Wait, isn't she Scorpio?
She is.
Oh, wow. There you go.
But no, so she's hilarious. She's great now.
She is fantastic. She is a lovely little human being.
She's so hardworking.
She is. So, she busts her tail.
So
get it, girl. We love you.
We love you. And your little terrorizing days are funny now. Okay.
Wow.
We But yeah, so I grew up, spent a lot of time growing up with Skylar while everybody else was like moving out of the house, going away, saving themselves. And while I was with Skylar, our parents were going through a divorce, and Mom was like holding up this huge case in court about keeping us kids. And there was a lot of stuff that we'll talk about later that was going on, and I had to like write a secret letter to the court basically pleading with them to let us go with Dad. And I had to do a lot of like secret behind the scenes things communicating with Dad, because she would monitor our phone calls with him to make sure we didn't tell him what she was doing. But she didn't know I knew how to clear browsing history on the internet.
Oh, I just learned how to do that like last year. It's true, Julie. Don't look at me like that.
Okay, moving on. just a little too late.
Oh, it's been very helpful.
I'm sure. Oh man. No, I learned that so I could watch porn when she was out of the house and clear it out, but I infected our computers so badly. Man.
Dang.
Sorry, that was a sidetrack. But yeah, so got us to go with Dad. So Skylar got to go to school. When we went with Dad, he got her in school, and she's freaking smart. She was given a chance to shine and really like academically prove herself and have a structure, so that was great. And I right at that point I was halfway through my air quotes senior year.
Yeah, what a joke.
So I at that point I was like, I'm just gonna finish it out because I already have my stuff planned out.
And we don't want them to really know how far behind I am.
No.
Seriously.
No, I didn't want to mess up everything I had been working for and then halfway through the last year suddenly do something new like that and get thrown off guard and maybe not pass.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But then you know, Dad was really great, you know. I'd tell him what I was doing, but he was also hands off, like he didn't teach me. And he was working, you know, but like he'd come home for lunch, and you know, he'd see me at the table with my stuff, and I'd be like, yeah, I just finished doing this and this, I'm about to get started on this. And so he was aware, and he would ask what was going on. So, and he made sure I got, both me and Skylar went to a testing center to make sure we weren't behind. And they said that we were actually really good off, and that we both were excellent in English, like writing and stuff. So I was a relief for me. I was like, okay, I felt validated. So I was like, I've been busting my ass trying to teach myself, and I feel so stupid. And I had all these insecurities that I still have to this day. So it was like, we got to have that testing, and then I took the ACT. And so that pretty much sums up my teen years.
Do you want to know something I think that might have made the difference for you?
What?
I think you and Skylar were doing that online learning course, like towards, like when I was in college, you guys were doing some kind of online courses. And I feel like that maybe gave you a better idea of structure, but I could be totally wrong.
Yeah, so the homeschooling group did some classes. Some of the classes was like biology, but it was college level biology. It was so intense, especially since I'd never been taught science before. And then suddenly I'm in a college level class. I was like, holy fuck.
yeah.
But there was an English class, and she really helped me figure out. It was like every Tuesday. The class was every Tuesday for a couple months, like half a year, half a semester, whatever. So I did that, and the English class really helped me get an idea for how easy essays can be to write, as long as you get the right outline and structure in place, and then, you know, set yourself up, and then boom. And before, I was like trying to figure out, okay, where do I start? I don't even know. I wouldn't know what to do with essay prompts. And but that class right there really helped as far as English goes, but everything else still a fucking challenge.
I remember like my teenage years were, you know, of course I'd been working at the bar, and I worked at the stables until till I graduated, air quotes. And I mean I was just there every day. Like, I was barely doing school on the side in my spare time. Even though it should be, you know, the other way around. But like, I know that I've always been super driven, and I mean, like, the whole experience of going to see our godmother in Kansas City and seeing Lord of the Rings as it came out, the part one, it really changed my life. I decided, like, oh my goodness, I always was very creative and drew, both of us always drew and were very mm-hmm. artistic, but like, I knew that that's what I wanted. And Lord of the Rings, like, also introduced me to the love of my life, Elijah Wood, who, you know, he may not know I don't exist yet, but can I also just say that his podcast, Visitations, is so beautiful. It's wonderful. And the people they interview, and they have such thoughtful conversations. Like, I would highly recommend you listen to the one with Guillermo del Toro and, I think also Richard Stanley. Those were two of my favorites. But being a film nerd, I didn't know too much about, like, movie making at that point. But Elijah Wood was, like, my early obsession. I had, like, posters and collectibles, and I had, like, a little shrine to him in the closet, remember?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But
she Kelly had this, her closet, you'd open up the doors, and plastered on the inside of the doors were all of these pictures. And it was bad printouts, because our printer didn't have, like, the best ink. And so there'd be these shitty pictures of Elijah Wood taped up everywhere, and these hearts, he'd write on them.
I still have every single thing that was in my closet. Like, in a bucket. I have it saved. All of my Elijah Wood stuff. We should revisit
that someday.
Yeah, I'll have to pull it out.
You'd have, like, magazine cutouts from the Lord of the Rings stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It was like...
Yeah.
You were real.
I still think...
Real fan.
Even though I Biggest love... fan. Even though I love my boo Thomas, I still feel like Elijah just doesn't know what he's missing.
Oh, he doesn't.
I really don't.
He has no clue.
Yeah. We were a match made in heaven, but, you know, heaven doesn't exist. but I decided, like, at that point, I wanted to pursue that filmmaking. And both mom and dad were against the idea. You know, dad always wants us to be practical. And he's like, that's not a real career. And you have to have all these connections, and you'll never make it. So, while mom disagreed more or less, because she thought, you know, the film industry was filled with nothing but, like, sin and secular worldviews. So, you know, danger, danger. Also, I mean, my whole teenage years were spent at the barn. So that's not an interesting story at the moment. But none of us were really allowed to date. Not even really. We weren't allowed to date, period, growing up. I secretly went on a few dates with a couple of boys I met at the barn, but, like, it's not even as exciting as that sounds. I was very future oriented, like, even as a teen, and taking unnecessary risks, like sex and even kissing was, like, I just couldn't. I was too afraid. I just never wanted to be in trouble. And, like, I felt like if I messed up, I would be locked away in a room and never let out, and no one would ever hear from me again. So that fear drove me to behave. And I mean, even I went through my one big rebellion was plucking my eyebrows. Do you remember that, Jillian?
Oh.
I was removed from every social thing. Like, which was church related. I had to call our youth minister and tell him that I could no longer come to youth group because I was in rebellion. I wasn't even, and you know, mom was standing right there, but I wasn't even allowed to tell him, like, it's because I trimmed my eyebrows. But I was tired of getting made fun of, you know, for that unibrow. But it just
blows my mind.
Isn't that amazing? But I also hadn't quite come to terms, you know, with the fact that I was bisexual and, like, I was deeply infatuated with a certain female in my life. But, you know, since we grew up in a very homophobic community, the things I thought and felt were nothing short of, like, sinful to them and worthy of an eternity in hell. So mm-hmm. I suppressed that guilt like it was my job, feeling that constant guilt and self.
I didn't feel guilty because I'm also bisexual. Like, my first girl crush was Kate Winslet when we were watching Sense and Sensibility. She was my first girl crush, and I was like, I'm in love.
Yeah.
But I just knew not to say anything. I just didn't say it, and I just, you know, when I would draw my fashion stuff, like, we would both be drawing fashion designs and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I always emphasized the boobs.
Mom would be punished if I drew boobs.
Mom would have me erase them mm-hmm. every time.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that. But I'd still do it. I'd still make the cleavage marks, and I was like, there you go.
Listen, boobs make the clothes are a gift. Too tight. They were a true gift from.
I really love the female wherever. Body, so I would draw it. That's mm-hmm. where I would focus my attention, was drawing my fashion designs, and that. I'm surprised Mom didn't pick it up. Maybe she did. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. That whole thing of feeling constant guilt and the self-loathing and fear. It is a part of my daily life, but I see that our upbringing in a Christian, like, Bible Belt, super, super crazy right-wing environment really is the root of that. And I don't have anything positive to say about modern religion and dogma. I think it's poison and does not bring peace, just more fear, guilt, and insecurity. That's all I learned from it. Other people mm-hmm. go to religion for comfort and for a feeling of, like, a clear right and wrong and a path, but I just found it constricting and made me feel like not worthy of anything. So mm-hmm. I don't see that as a good thing.
No. So last thing I want to add to my teenage years before I think, you know, we basically try to tie this all together so it makes sense, because I know I ramble.
Yeah.
I was all over the place.
Me too.
But yeah. The silver lining from my teenage years was my friend Emily.
Yes.
So our relationship was very closely monitored. I didn't have a lot of friends, a lot of people I was allowed to hang out with, and we were monitored. Like, and most of the time, she was with me at our place, so Mom could know what we were talking about and doing. But it was just, she is a ray of sunshine. I haven't gotten to talk to her in a while, but, like, she was the light at the end of the tunnel for me growing up as a teenager, because she's just such a great person.
Yes.
So, Emily,
shout out to Emily. And she is forever immortalized in my student movie.
Bijou,
be you. And so is Julia. Oh. She's a star. Oh. You would have a hard time finding it on YouTube, but it is there.
No, I'll find it.
Yeah, I know, but, like, I'm just saying, for the average person that types in Bijou Be You, they're not going to find it. But we'll link it to the website, because it's golden. I just a little preface for that. I feel like that's a great thing to just say that I this was for college, and it was like there were different shots we had to have in it. But we could take creative freedom and make it whatever we wanted. Somehow, when I screened this movie, I had no realization that I had just made a lesbian love story.
But why is your subconscious, like, at work there?
People that were watching it in the class were losing it. They thought it was hysterical. And I was like, oh, snap! I was humiliated it. I was like, that's not what I meant. No, no.
I think it's even better because of it. I think now that that plot twist is like, well.
I think it's just how, you know, you guys delivered your lines. You know, you guys being such untested acting professionals. Like, the delivery, man. I was like, oh.
Well, we what wrote have we the done? Script. We wrote the script on the spot, and we thought, I don't know what we thought. I don't know what we were thinking.
Julia, but you shine real, like a bright star.
Like a diamond.
Like a diamond. Oh, shine bright.
Oh, no. What I am is a diamond in the fucking rough.
To me, I prefer diamonds that way. When they're all polished and perfect, they just look so boring. I sold jewelry, fine jewelry, for a long time, you guys, and I can honestly say that, like, rough cut diamonds and imperfections and all the imperfections that kind of make it look cloudy, or I love the imperfections. I really love it. Or like emeralds with
yes, yeah, me too.
I love that too. Natural emeralds with their imperfections. Yeah. Anyway,
so basically,
yeah. Life. You're a diamond, Julia. You're a diamond.
Thanks. So that's just a little glimpse. Not even, and that I know that you probably feel like you've been taken for a ride, but that's not even it. But
that's just like a little snippet.
Yeah, just skimming the surface, just highlights. So, just so you have an idea, okay, so where we're coming from, why some of our passions where some of our passions have come from, and why it's all kind of coming together now, and how we're going to focus this into our podcast. And we're just so excited to start, you know, having a structure to learn. Like, you know, every week we're going to be doing this podcast, and we have to do our research. We have to show up, and it's awesome. I'm so excited.
I am too. The next one is going to be, I think, even more telling in a very more structured way. But can I just tell you guys before we go off air that this will air much later than this is happening, but tonight, like as we speak, Bernie Sanders is debating Sleepy Joe Biden right now, and I have it recording, but I really need to see it because I just got an update on my phone from Bernie, because I donate lots and lots, just saying Bernie is on fire and I want to see the fire.
Me too.
Please, guys, I don't want Sleepy Joe. Let's not.
Kelly.
Guys, can we just like immediately air this to where people...
I'm looking up that quote. I have to look that up. The Biden poor kids quote.
Okay, so we're going to close this out with our favorite stupid things that Joe Biden has said.
Oh, shit.
So if, Julia, if you're ever, like, if you're ever on my shit list and I'm really, really mad, I'm going to say, Julia, you're a damn liar. A lion dog face pony soldier.
That makes no sense what he said. It's
like from the 1850s. That's why, Julia. Because
here's one of my recent favorite quotes of his.
Okay.
So poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
I mean,
and he was trying to make a positive point, but like his white man just seeped out. Well, his racist old white man just
There's footage that, of course, the news is not going to cover or resurface. But there was some kind of event when Biden and Obama were running, and he was speaking to a crowd of minorities mainly. And pretty much saying that the AIDS epidemic and things that, like, still AIDS is their fault. And they have to figure it out and fix it and be proactive. It's super, super racist and just cringy to listen to. Even Obama kind of had to shut him down. He was like making like motions with his arms to be like, no, no, Joe, no, please. No.
Oh my God.
Please don't tell us about what's his name at the pool. You know, who's the kid? He said, he had to like put the smackdown on when he was like a lifeguard at the pool.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's golden. well, I'll find it and I'll send it to you.
Side note, yes? As we close this up, is with all this learning that we're doing, does that mean we get chocolate?
Yeah, I have some chocolate.
Tie it all back together.
Yeah. Guys, we like sweets. I quit drinking entirely this year. So I could have more sweets, basically. Because it was going to be one or the other that I had to give up, and it definitely wasn't going to be sugar. So, on that note, let's go eat some cake.
Thank you for whoever sat through this car ride with us, this rode along with us and listened to this whole thing. You're a star. Thank you so much. And we're grateful for you.
And one last thing.
Yes.
Julia is going to give you our social medias. Please do join our family, follow us, all that good stuff. But I have quit all social media. So Julia is in charge of that. But if you have questions you would like to email us, I will definitely read that and be able to comment. I still do email, but I don't do any of the socials for my own mental well-being.
That's smart.
Kick it, Julia.
Tell us. I keep thinking about doing it too. But not only questions, but if you come from like a similar background or even a different background and have different points that you'd be interested in us talking about, like give us some topics. Let us know and
share your stories.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you and we'd love to learn with some chocolate. And basically, this isn't just about us talking about ourselves. This is our intro. But it's all about learning, and you got to talk about your past. You got to talk about it, and you got to learn from it. So we're excited. Talk to us, and you can reach us multiple places.
Where? Where?
So first off, we've got email. You can reach us at thefamilytiespodcast8792@gmail.com. We also have our Twitter handle, which is at thefamilytiespc.
Sweet.
We have our Instagram handle, which is thefamilytiespodcast8792. And Facebook, The Family Ties Podcast. I'm sorry they're all different names, but none of these platforms would let me get the name I wanted, and I could never get the same one to connect them all together. So we'll have all of these links on all of these different platforms. So if you get confused
Our website, thefamilytiespodcast.com, and it will list all of the socials there and have like some really embarrassing blasts on the past photos from us.
Oh my God. Thank you, Kelly. You know what? You really tied that together nicely.
Thanks.
I'm gonna have to rework my outro for the next episode.
It's gonna change, and yes, I will sing more. It'll hit me. Julie will say something that makes me think of something, and I'm just gonna start singing.
You'll know we've both lost it if I start singing with you. It's going to be great.
Okay, well, she just called me crazy, so I think that's a good place to end.
Well, I feel like we both are. That's why we're trying to learn and figure things out.
Well,
right?
Julie, we're not crazy. We're just complex humans.
I've got jokes.
Yes, you do. All right, well, we love you guys like family. Come join us.
Join the family.
Join us. Bye.
Bye.